Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Before we get to the calls and the Dak Prescott story and Chris's hot take, this is a busy noon hour. Today, April 15th in the history of this country, two separate events have happened, which are huge defining events for this country. Does anybody care to take a guess what those might be? Huge events. Huge.
Jackie Robinson.
That's right. Jackie Robinson made his major league debut April 15th, 1947 for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Good one. Chris, do you have any idea what the other one might be?
I have no idea, Dave.
Okay. Rick, you have any idea what the other one might be?
Oh, I saw it this morning, too.
I mean, huge.
No, give it to me.
Would you like a hint?
Yeah, give me a hint. Give me a hint. Just a hint.
All right. Well, let's think of the $25,000 pyramid where I just say like a word and you try to guess.
I love that game.
Unsinkable.
Titanic.
Yes. Titanic.
Okay.
We should play the pyramid on the show.
That's actually a great clue, Dave. I mean, that was
unsinkable,
perfect, actually.
Right?
Titanic. Yeah, Titanic.
April 15th, 1912. And I'm going to be honest with you guys and let you in on, and this might be embarrassing, and that's fine.
You cried.
I love that movie. I know it wasn't a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I don't hold it against you.
No.
Oh, the suspense. Don't know how it's going to end.
but you know what? The whole rose thing and the old woman dropping the diamond into the ocean. I mean, I don't know.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
I always thought the most unrealistic part of that movie was the orchestra playing while the people were getting off the boat.
But that's true.
I know it's true, Dave, but I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. But the amazing thing is, as outrageous as there were in that movie, like she's on this huge door and she refuses to let him on for some reason, that will never make sense to me. I mean, she could have rented out space. She's just lying there. She's spread out and he's freezing to death in the water. And then she just lets him go. But the band part of it is actually the true part.
Just going to say it couldn't be me, Dave. Couldn't be me.
Imagine that. You're about to have the most miserable plunge to your death. Play on.
Yeah.
Continue along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably
the
not.
The Titanic.
Probably not.
Yeah, the Titanic, April 15th, 1912, and Jackie Robinson, April 15th, 1947. You'd agree, right, Rick? Two of the biggest days in this country's history.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, as far as, you know, sports are concerned, well, I mean, maybe, I mean, one of the biggest ever with what Jackie Robinson did.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd have to look this up, but I think that Fenway Park also opened up today. And it might have also been 1912, but I'm not 100% sure of that. But it's in that range, right around here within the next couple days. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's get to the calls. Then we got to talk Dak Prescott. And then we got Chris's red hot take. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's happening, David? Good job with that info. And I'm just speculating here. I think Glazer's announcement, if he's coming out with something, I think I'm taking a guess that the Super Bowl is going to be pushed to President's Day weekend. And this will be the perfect year. This way it gives the NFL a little wiggle room if they have to start the season a couple of weeks late. But I know you were talking about Adams and everything. I'll tell you, you know, I've had a lot of time on my hands. We've discussed it. I'm not even going fourth best tackle, best receiver. They need to protect Sam. My pick is in. You got to take the tackle. You get the receiver in the second round. And as for Adams, he's an impact player, which Rick knows, we all know. Jets don't have it on either side of the ball. I know the money is crazy to play a safety, but you can make the argument that he could be a top five defensive player in the league, one of the best top five in the league, all right? I think they're going to have to sign him. The only way I move this guy is if they put together a package, whoever it might be, if it's the Cowboys or anybody else, if you can walk away with three picks, four picks, maybe a first round this year, second round this year, and a third round next year, or a 1-3 and a 2 next year, then I would maybe entertain it. But I think you're going to have to keep them, because the Jets, long history, you don't get too many impact players. So even though you're paying a lot of money for safety, I think he makes that much of a difference where I think you're going to just pay the guy, and you're going to have to structure your salary cap around it.
Yeah, I don't know. And thanks to the call, Ira. I don't know. I'm torn. I mean, I understand how good he is. He's a difference maker player. I also understand to pay a safety $17 million, Chris, is a whole lot of money. And if I could somehow get real value in return via draft picks and change the complexion of my team with pass rushing and offensive line, I'm also torn to potentially go in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get guys that play premium positions, I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. I mean, you can find quality safeties around the National Football League, but it's hard to find quarterbacks. It's hard to find edge rushers. It's hard to find corners. It's hard to find those positions. So, I mean, I just think, like, if you're in position to be able to address one of those needs on your team by moving on from Jamal, I'd be hard-pressed to say that the Jets shouldn't at least consider it. But it's got to be the right deal. It's got to be what fits Adam Gase and Joe Douglas's philosophy in terms of how they want to build this football team. Because Jamal is more than just an impact player. He's also a culture setter for your team.
Yeah, but he also has to be, I mean, at the end of this, I mean, he has to be reasonable too. I mean, this can't be, you know, you hurt my feelings because you picked up the phone and listened to the trade offer, so now I'm going to hold you over the barrel. And I'm going to, you know, ask for more money than... You know, you put Joe Douglas in a position where it would make, I mean, as much as you'd want to sign him, you know, $18 million a year for a safety is just, it's just too much money.
Yeah, and they might have that philosophy, and I don't think that's wrong. I think what I've said the entirety of the Joe Douglas era, which is very brief, is you just have to believe him. You just have to believe that he knows best and to kind of follow in that direction. And so far, you feel good about it. And I think whatever he decides to do in the draft and via trade or re-signing Jamal Adams, you have to just buy into what he's selling right now. It's going to Mario and Westchester. Yeah, go ahead, Rick. Chris.
No, what I was going to say, Dave, was that I just think, to Rick's point, it's going to come down to exactly what Jamal Adams wants in his contract demands. Is he willing to take less on average annual value and more guaranteed money? I mean, it's just a matter of being able to make it work with the other things that the team is trying to do, how they're trying to build the rest of this roster. If he's willing to do that, if he's willing to allow them to be creative in terms of the overall structure, then maybe they're able to work it out. But if he's hell bent on being, you know, paid $16, $17, $18 million a year, I don't know if the Jets have an appetite for that.
Let's go to Mario in Westchester. Mario, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Love your show. I'm just listening here. I find it intriguing that if the Jets can find the right trade-back partner and get Josh Jones, if I believe in Joe Douglas that he will do the right thing. So if he identifies him as a good player, one he wants at left tackle, and he can acquire more middle-round picks where he can execute and identify the good players there, and just really build this roster up, trade back, and get more picks. I think that's a good way to go. If that's what he wants to do, what do you guys think?
I just said it. Thanks for the call. I think Rick, I think you have to trust your GM. I mean, you liked him coming in. You heard nothing but good things from him before he started. From what he's done so far, I think you're moderately impressed, and I stand by it. I think you need to just buy it all in on Joe Douglas and hope that he knows what he's doing.
Well, you have no choice. I mean, we can sit here and go back and forth who you like, who Chris likes, I mean, who, you know, Ira likes. It doesn't matter. I mean, it all comes down to, you know, who Joe Douglas likes and how Joe Douglas has all these players graded. Like, we have no idea. I mean, you can sit here and ask, you know, I mean, there's a reason why when you start looking at first rounds of any draft, I mean, why you have, you know, so many guys that don't make it. I mean, just do yourself a favor. Rich Simini was on with us earlier. Read his article, his and Jordan Arnn's article on ESPN.com, and then look at the differing opinions from scouts. I mean, it's a no wonder it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
You know, one guy, you know, this guy's special. The other
and
one,
Mike Tannenbaum says that he looks at Andrew Thomas as the number one tackle in this draft.
Exactly right. So, you have no idea how Joe Douglas sees it. You just got to trust that he's going to make the, I mean, he's going to identify who he likes. And if, you know, the guy on his board is available at 11, then he'll probably take him at 11. Or if he can move back with, you know, Rich mentioned, you know, Atlanta, and then get the offensive tackle that they like at 16, then he'll do that. I mean, this is his livelihood. He's going to make what he thinks is the best decision.
Yeah. And there's no reason, Chris, as a Jets fan, that you shouldn't trust him as of now. If you don't trust Gase, I understand it. If you're a Giants fan, you don't trust Gettleman, that makes sense to me. But right now, you should trust Joe Douglas.
Yeah, he hadn't given you any reason not to trust what he's going to do. I mean, we'll ultimately see what happens after the draft plays out. But I mean, based on what he's done in the early reviews, everything has been all positive, and people have a tremendous amount of respect for him around the National Football League. And he learned the role that he's in from some of the best general managers in the National Football League, and Ozzie Newsome and Howie Roseman. So I just feel like you have to trust him. But I will say this, in terms of the Jets trading back from 11 and trying to find a starting offensive tackle, there are certain places in the draft that you find guys at premium positions. And when you start talking about quarterbacks and offensive tackles, that's usually in the top half of the first round. There's a reason why the majority of those guys come from that area in the draft. It's because it's a position that's in high demand. It never have enough supply of those guys. So I just think that when you start talking about potentially acquiring more picks by moving back, I just think that this is a situation you can't get too cute. And if you're sold on a guy that can be a plug-and-play tackle for the next decade, kind of like what you saw in 2006 with DeBrickashaw Ferguson, then that's the decision that the Jets have to make with the 11th overall pick.
All right, let's go, Chris. It is your time. It is your hot take time. Are you ready?
I'm ready to go, Dave.
All right, Rick, are you ready to flush out his hot take here?
Yeah, I am ready to flush it out. He's got to tell us what sport it is, though, first, before we ask our questions.
What sport is your hot take?
Okay, it's football.
Mm-hmm. It is football. All right, five questions each, and then guessing can commence. I'm going to guess, does it involve the National Football Conference?
Yes.
You were very hesitant there.
Yeah, I mean, that's very general. It does involve the NFC, yes.
Okay. Involves the NFC.
Involves the NFC. Does this...
It's not NFC specific, though. Let's not get caught up in that. It's not NFC specific.
Is it position specific?
No, it's not position specific.
Not position.
Is it an individual player specific?
No.
No. So this is big picture, Rick. This is not a Russell Wilson was hosed out of being all first team NFL. This is a bigger kind of a feel.
Does this have anything to do with Christian McCaffrey's new contract?
No.
No.
I gave you guys a hint as to what it was about yesterday at the top of the show. We were having a conversation around the quarterbacks.
That might as well have been 3.5 months ago. So it's quarterback.
I almost peed, Chris. I almost peed in the closet last night. All right. I mean, I to remember what happened yesterday.
Okay. Hang on a second. What?
Yeah, I almost peed in my closet last night.
Why? Because the toilet's broken.
No, the toilet's fine. I got all discombobulated. I zigged when I should have zagged, and then all of a sudden, like, I try to get to the bathroom and keep my eyes closed just so, like, I can get through it and then go back to sleep. I don't know. I wasn't sleepwalking, but I wasn't paying attention. And then, you know, when I went to do my business, I opened my eyes and realized I was in my closet.
Had you started to relieve yourself?
No, luckily. Oh. No, I was close, though. Yeah, that would have been
messy. That'd be a great story.
That'd be terrible. That'd been an awful story. I got to go clean that up. Forget that. Oh. No.
Oh.
Can you imagine if I had asparagus last night, too? That'd be even worse.
All right. So it's quarterback related.
It's not quarterback specific. We were having a conversation around the quarterbacks, and it came up.
Rick, do you have any feel for this right now?
Does it have to do with how many quarterbacks will be drafted in this year's first round?
That's a big part of it.
Is it? So it might have something to do with the first round, the quarterbacks. Does this compare a first-round quarterback this year to someone that's currently existing in the NFL?
No, it does not.
No, it does not.
Does this hot take have to do with how many quarterbacks? Did I already ask that question?
I think you already asked how many quarterbacks. Yeah, I think you already asked that.
You're back in the closet.
I already asked that. I'm going to have to close that door tonight.
Do not enter.
Would you like a hint?
Does it have?
Would you like a hint?
Not yet.
Does it have
yet.
To? No. Does it have to do with where a quarterback will be drafted in the first round?
In part. In part. Think big picture, though.
Okay. Does this involve big picture? Does this involve the most questioned quarterback in this draft? Does this involve Jordan Love?
It does not. It does not. Not specifically.
It does not involve Jordan
Love. Does not specifically.
It's something that we've been talking about just with the unprecedented times, the challenges that teams are facing coming into the draft.
I have no idea. No idea.
Do you guys just want me to go ahead and give you the take?
I'd prefer another hint.
Yeah, give me a hint. One more hint.
Okay. Let's see here. What are some of the things that we talked about as potential challenges for general managers on draft night?
Not being able to watch guys throw.
That's one of them. We talked about this with Mike Tannenbaum several times.
No physicals.
Trades.
There you go.
Trades.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. Do you want to take a stab at what the take is?
The take is. Still very uncertain here. I think I have another question.
Okay.
Are you going to say that? Okay, go with your other question, Dave.
I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to ask. I'm completely flummoxed here. Does this involve?
Oh, I know what it is.
You know what it is?
I know what it is.
All right, I'd like to loan you my question.
Does this have anything to do with a team moving up into the top five to draft a quarterback?
In part. And that's what I started with yesterday.
I'm going to say the other hot take is that a team will trade up and take Tua with a third overall pick.
That is not the hot take.
I have a guess at the hot take.
What is it, Dave?
You believe that Tua will slide in the first round because teams have been unable to have real contact and having their doctors check him out.
Guys, it's not player specific.
Ah!
It's not player specific. Although, I mean, that is a part of the rationale when I developed said hot take. My hot take is that there will be a minimum of four trades on the first night of the draft. Last year, there were six trades on draft night. I know a lot of speculation has been out there about teams not wanting to move around just because of the challenges, not being in the war room, not having all the scouts and decision makers in one place, and the communication to other teams. But based on how I see things and recent trends in the draft, there will be a minimum of four trades that happen in the draft. Now, a part of that reasoning was teams moving up to get the quarterbacks. In the last four drafts, there have been 14 first-round picks at the quarterback position. Of the 14, 10 of those teams moved up to get those quarterbacks. The only ones that teams didn't move up for were Goff, Mayfield, and Murray because they were the first overall pick, and Dwayne Haskins last year. So we talked about there being a minimum of four quarterbacks being drafted in the first round this year. Joe Burrow is going to be one of them, but that's at least three other quarterbacks that will be drafted in the first round. Chances are that there are going to be teams moving up to get them. I believe that there will be a team that's trading in the top five to have their pick of Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa. But that's
good.
A point. That's a part of it.
I hope the Giants are the team that they trade with and they move back and collect many picks later on in the draft.
That's, I hope so too, Dave. Your lips to God's ears. But the other part that I actually took a look at was recent draft trends. Now, I mentioned 6 draft day trades last year. Last year, 20 of the 32 first round picks were made by teams with the original draft selection. So that means that there were 12 picks that were made by teams that were moved into those spots. In 2018, you had 16 of the 32 first-round picks that were made by teams with the original draft selection. Right now, you have only 6 picks that have been traded in the first round. So if we're looking at what happened in the last couple of drafts, it would suggest that there's going to be a lot more movement than we anticipate. So that is my hot take for the week.
All right, so a minimum of 4 trades in the first round of this NFL draft.
Minimum, Dave.
Book minimum. It. Minimum.
Minimum.
I like it. All right, that's a hot take. I got a hot take for I'm not Friday. You're Friday, Rick, right? Your hot take is Friday.
No, I mean, if you got one, I gave you a spicy little nugget yesterday. I mean, I went Tuesday. See,
here's the problem with mine. It's my own opinion that will never come to fruition. So I don't, is that a hot take? It's just my opinion. I know there's no way that this team would do what I think should be done, but it's what I really believe they should do. Does that make sense?
Is it that Sorokin will be a better goalie than Shesterkin? Is that the hot take?
No.
Because it's okay if you feel that way.
No, I don't feel like that. I don't feel that at all. From what I've seen from Shesterkin, it looks like he's going to be a sensational goalie.
Yeah, but he won't be as good as Sorokin.
How do you know that?
It's fine. Listen, you can feel that way.
You don't know that.
Listen, I'm not going to think less of you. I'm just going by previous performance. I'm just going at what Sorokin did in the KHL. That's all I'm using.
From what I've seen from Igor, he looks nothing shy of sensational. And I'm very, very comfortable with that. Very comfortable.
This hot take on Friday better not involve the Washington Redskins and Chase Young. It better not involve it.
Don't you tell me what to do.
It's not going to happen. You can't wish this to happen.
I can't. But when I was a kid, I was convinced I could watch a game and change the result if I rooted hard enough. So I can't do that with next Thursday's draft.
I'm just upset how much better our third round pick would have been if you guys had lost that game.
It's true. It's true. We really screwed you there, huh?
Damn fifth touchdown pass. That's all right, though. Daniel Jones will carry on the momentum.
You know how bad it is? Would you not agree that Rich Cimini might be one of the nicest, calmest, kindest people you've ever met?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's so egregious of a trade that the kind and just lovely man known as Rich Cimini, even he has to take shots at me for the trade that Gettleman made with the Jets.
Yeah, why wouldn't he? I mean, it's not a shot. It's true. I mean,
because
it's just
the history of Rich is that that's not the kind of thing that he does.
Well, I think he's just pointing out the facts, though. I don't think he means to take a shot.
It was a shot.
No, it was, I mean, maybe a veiled shot, but I don't think he meant any disrespect.
I don't think he meant disrespect, but he wanted to get that shot out there. He wanted to make it known that that was a bad trade for the Giants, which he did.
You should do is you just should compound the mistake by paying him $16.5 million a year.
Yeah, makes sense. So we'll get some observations in a moment. Story from Dallas, and I'll let you guys kind of expound on this first, then I'll chime in about Dak Prescott. And I guess originally there was a report out there that he had a party of about 30 people, and he came out very, very upset and said that's not the case. It was about 10 or even under 10. So, you know, you played in the NFL. You kind of have an idea of the athlete, Chris. I'll let you start with your take on Dak Prescott. We'll hear from Stephen Jones in a minute on this as well.
Well, clearly Dak Prescott is wrong, but I mean, I just think that folks are a little bit unreasonable with their criticism of him because you got to think about it, man. He's a single guy. You know, he doesn't have any kids. He's living out there in Texas, and everybody is told to shelter in place. So he's not, I mean, to expect him to be at home by himself with just looking at the four walls, I just don't think it's going to happen. So I understand that he was wrong and he absolutely shouldn't have violated the ordinance. He shouldn't have had all of those people over at his house, even if it was just for a sit down dinner. But at the same time, I think we have to all recognize that this is a tough circumstance. And Dak Prescott is not the only young professional athlete that's doing this. He's just the one that has the platform and that got caught on camera doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, Ezekiel Elliott was there too. So, yeah. I mean, I understand the criticism. I mean, again, it's me and Chris kind of joke about this all the time. You know, we'll start up a company, teach you to do the wrong thing the right way. If shouldn't do it. If you're going to do it, I mean, I don't understand why you need to broadcast to everybody, why you need to take pictures of it and then post pictures and everything else. It's a bad look. Here's what I don't like, though, is the longer this thing goes on and as we start getting into the virtual OTAs and everything else, like, I don't understand why Dallas wants to put Dak Prescott in a situation where he has to be the bad guy, where they start to chip away at, you know, what he's built up as far as his reputation and his leadership. But I would imagine the last thing that Dak Prescott wants to do is be away from his teammates and not participate with what's going on here in the offseason.
Of course. And it makes him look bad, too. I mean, it does. It's a bad look for him, and he's supposed to be a leader on this team. And I get what you both say, but I'm horrified is a strong word, but I'm really bothered by it. I mean, and I get he's a single guy, but I mean, the edict from everywhere is stay inside and don't socialize and don't have, he's sticking his middle finger up at everybody and saying, that doesn't apply to me. I can basically do whatever I want. So I don't know. I mean, I guess we feel differently.
Well, he's not
about
the only
this.
One. Time out though. Here's the thing though. And again, this is, who knows if there was 10 people. I mean, you look at the pictures. I can't tell how many people it is. He shouldn't be doing it. I mean, you could say the same thing about what Tua did with his, you know, his pro day video. I mean, was he supposed to have that? I mean, there's social distancing, but I mean, was he supposed to necessarily be doing that? I mean, Dak Prescott's not the only one doing these things.
Well, yeah, but to be out there on a field and to be having 10, I don't know, people over your house for a dinner party feels kind of differently, no?
So let me ask you a question, Dave. Is he supposed to be at home by himself for the entire month?
Yes.
That's what he's supposed to do.
Yes.
So nobody, no visitors, nobody in his home.
Well, yeah, in theory, yes.
In theory, yes, but from a practical standpoint, being pragmatic about it, is that reasonable to expect somebody to do that?
I'll tell you what, if he had Ezekiel Elliott coming over and the two of them were hanging out and playing PS4 and ordering pizza, and I it would be a lot easier for me to be able to tolerate than a guy having a party as this is going on.
I mean, the number of people, I guess, is the part of it that gets a little obscure. Like, you don't know exactly where to draw the line. I'm just trying to ask you the question to show people how unrealistic it is to expect this dude to be by himself for the entire month or however long we're supposed to be quarantined.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying it's not difficult.
He's not wrong. I didn't say that he's not wrong. But if you just think about it for a second, how realistic is it to expect him to be by himself this entire time we're supposed to be sheltering in place? That's the only, you know, I get that he's wrong. He shouldn't be doing that. And because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, he's got this platform and he should be sending the right message, promoting what's in the best interest of public health. But, I mean, we are talking about a young man with means and, you know, having a lot of downtime based on the current set of circumstances. So this is – it's not as easy as some people would think. Can you criticize him? Absolutely. I'm not saying that it's not warranted, but I just have a problem with people being overly critical.
All right, let's take a listen. Here's Cowboys GM Stephen Jones from 105.3, the fan down in Dallas. Have you spoken with Dak and Zeke about appropriately socially distancing yourself?
Yes, we certainly have communicated with Dak and Zeke, and I think they're certainly aware now of how sensitive these situations are, and I don't think you'll be seeing that anymore. There's certainly guys that we have the utmost respect for, and I certainly no, they understand the sensitivity of the situation we're in today. It's certainly very serious and something that we know, certainly know they understand.
It's a strange soundbite to me because you're telling me up until now these guys had no understanding of the severity of the situation that we've been living under?
No, I think they do, but I think it speaks to, and Dak Prescott's still the only one. I mean, how many times have we seen, and how many times have we talked about? I mean, beaches being open, spring break, and everything else. I mean, it is the mindset of younger, healthy people is that they're not they're not the ones really at risk. And that's, I mean, that's a hurdle that we've been trying to get over. I mean, it just, it's a bad look because he got caught. I mean, the optics of it aren't great. I don't think anyone can disagree with that. And I just think of, to Chris's point, you know, the practicality of Dak Prescott, you know, being a single guy staying in his house by himself, are probably, I mean, probably a little bit unreasonable.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably is. All right, let's move along, and it is now time for Nobservations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Nobservations.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, fellas, let's start with some good stories. We'll start with the NHL, because you know how much I love the NHL. We'd be actually in the first round of the playoffs of the NHL right now.
Don't do that to us.
I know. But if you're going to start with the playoffs, I mean, the fact is we're only in the first round of the playoffs. So, I mean, there still is. I mean, fingers crossed, there still is time.
We got time.
The Nashville Predators have raised $2.7 million to help with both tornado and COVID-19 relief, which is pretty awesome.
Because COVID-19 isn't enough. We've got to give them a tornado, too, huh? Unbelievable.
Well, they had that tornado, too.
Right? I know. It's terrible.
That's unbelievable. 2020 has not been a good year.
No, terrible.
And we're only in April.
What did you say, $2.7
million? $2.7
million,
my man.
Wow. That is terrific.
Yeah, you had players involved, too. I mean, Roman Josi, who's the captain, he gave $20,000 to Second Harvest Food Bank of Middle Tennessee and another $20,000 to a local homeless ministry. So $40,000. Quinnen Williams, no relation to Giants Leonard Williams.
Go ahead. It's not funny. You know what? Sometimes you can overplay a joke. That's where you are. You are living in the I've overplayed this joke now.
Thank you, Santiago. Quinnen Williams came up with a plan to donate. He's going to donate $25,000 worth of healthy meals to medical professionals on the front line every week. The first donation went to healthcare workers at Morristown Medical Center, which is near the Jets facility. And if you get a chance to read the story, the meal is actually served, and on the front of it, it's a picture of Quinnen Williams, and it says, "Thank you for your service. Love, Quinnen Williams, New York Jets."
Good for him.
Cool.
Yeah, good on him for doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
great,
22-year-old
great
kid.
On him. Yep.
It's awesome. Here we go. Did this happen in Florida? You guys ready for this?
We're ready.
Let's do it.
So we have a woman. She is a blonde woman that decided after a court appearance for violating the stay-at-home mandate, what would she do when she was done with this court appearance? Would she just, you know, go home? Would she catch a cab? No, no. What she would do is she would get completely naked and jump on top of a police car. The woman stripped down and hopped on top of a cruiser after being released on bail and decided that she was going to just flail around butt naked on the top of a police car. Okay. Did that happen in FLA?
No. I don't. That doesn't have a Florida. It doesn't have a Florida feel to it. I'm gonna say that's an, and I'm not kind of hesitant with this. That's an emphatic no.
Wow, emphatic.
An emphatic no. Yes.
You got nudity and the police involved.
It doesn't feel like that's Florida.
Interesting. What about you, Canty?
Well, I mean, Dave is so strong in his stance. I feel like I have no choice but to agree with him and to say that it's not Florida.
Wow, Santiago.
Boy, I was going to say maybe Florida, but now you two have me doubting.
Listen, I guess I'll go Florida. No, I don't want to stand in your way if you believe that's a Florida story.
No, you're so vehement against it. I don't think I can go with it. I got to go non-Florida.
Vehement.
I always get that one wrong.
Yeah, it's okay.
What if I told you the woman got, you know, something stuck in the sunroof of the police vehicle? Would you say Florida then?
Did she?
No, she didn't. I wish she did, though. That would have been a better story.
I was about to say, police vehicles have sunroofs?
Yeah.
I don't know. This one may have.
Exactly.
In Florida?
It was a convertible. No, this happened in Spain. This was Spain.
Spain.
Where the naked woman decided. Yeah, this
nicely
was Spain.
Done, Dave. It's
That's
not even
right.
a domestic story.
There was no way that was Florida.
And Dave is on fire. And by the way, could you do me a favor? I'm dying to talk to Canty about Ozarks. I mean, I have a bunch of different points I'd like to make. Can you watch it, please?
Now, here's my question to you. You want to be frustrated with me? That's fine. You couldn't call Canty and have this conversation off air? I mean, why does it have to be with me present? Or you know what? You can have 5 minutes. I will dial out of the show and I will pop back in when you guys are done with that conversation.
Well, Dave, I think the point is that he wants Gordon Damer to hear it just because Gordon was so critical of the show.
Exactly right. Thank you, Chris. And I like to do it as a show. We're a family, a show unit. I mean,
well, I'm not there yet. If you want to wait for me, then wait for me. Otherwise, do it tomorrow, and I will take my headphones off for a good 5 minutes, and you guys can have this back and forth about Bateman and Ozarks and Laura Linney and all the stuff you need, and then I will pop back in when that conversation is done.
This quarantine schedule is very busy, Rick. Very busy.
Yeah, no, we'll wait. That's fine. I mean, you make me want it. That's fine. Did you guys get a chance to see this story about Snacks Harrison? I love this.
Yes.
This is actually hilarious. And my favorite part of the story. So he had no interest in going to Detroit. No, zero. Like at a point in the story, he said he came to camp in shape, but during the first 3 weeks of camp, he actually worked himself out of shape because he wasn't doing anything. Here's the favorite part of the story. to be completely honest with you, I didn't want to go to Detroit because of some of the things that I heard from some of the guys in the past, some guys who were there, Snack said. So when I got the call that that's where I was traded, I didn't answer the phone for a couple hours. Lions general manager Bob Quinn was calling me and I didn't pick up the phone because I was trying to figure out a way to get out of it. You got the GM calling for hours and he's trying to figure out an escape plan.
That's funny.
If I don't answer, maybe this won't actually happen.
Where would you rather go and play football? Cleveland, Cincinnati, or Detroit?
Currently, I would say Cleveland probably. You got new unis. I mean, you got a good team. I'd probably say Cleveland.
Yeah, I would go Cleveland too.
All right. Where would you rather go? Detroit or Cincinnati?
And you got Michael Simon's restaurants. Wow, Detroit.
So you don't want any part of Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm also with Cincinnati.
You know, here's the thing about that story with Snacks, Rick. I hear what he's saying about him not wanting to leave the Giants and go up there, but I also saw the emotion on his face when he was being cut this past February. So, I mean, could it have been all that bad if he was that emotional about them releasing him?
No, I just think for him the initial shock and all the things that he heard about Detroit was probably why he didn't want to go. But I think that changes. I mean, even if you don't like the coach, you make relationships with your teammates. I would be sad, too. You know what I mean? Like, even if you hated the place,
yeah.
I'm sure you like your teammates, mm-hmm. So you're sad to go.
Yeah.
Here we go. How much time? I only got one more minute left here. Last one for today. I got a good Shaq story. I'll save it tomorrow. But you guys, Dave, you'll love this. So you know how when Cassie and I had Milo, I left the hospital without naming Milo. It was a huge ordeal. Huge. Like the woman was heated. Like she almost wanted to name Milo for us. I said, no, I'll name him when I decide I want to name him. So you know the comedian Amy Schumer? Have you seen the story yet?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so Amy Schumer and her husband had a baby boy 11 months ago. Okay. And initially when they had their son, they wanted to do something special for one of the comedians that Amy Schumer really loves and respects, who was Dave Attell.
Okay.
Would you care? So Amy Schumer's husband's last name is Fisher. So the middle name was going to be, or was, Attell. So it was blank Attell Fisher. Would you care to guess what they named, what the baby's first name was?
Blank Attell Fisher.
Yeah. Interesting when you put the first name with the middle name and you say it as the entirety of the name.
I'm at a loss here. Chris, do you have any idea?
No clue.
It was Gene.
Wow. Come on, man. Fisher. Got to be more careful.
But here's the thing. Do you think the normal person hears that and thinks that's strange, or do you think that's in your mind that you hear that and right away you're shocked by it?
No, this was actually, I mean, she changed it. They've officially changed the name. I mean, the name is now Gene David Fisher, and it's funny because she revealed this on the podcast. And so Claudia O'Doherty, who's on the podcast with her, is a friend of hers. She actually says, my mom pointed that out to me, actually. My mom was like, Amy called her son Genital. And I was like, oh, what are you?
Wow.
So it's not just us. Other people realized.
Genital. Genital.
I mean, do they not think of this when they're naming their kids that? I mean, I'm just saying. The kids got a
conversation about Chris Christopherson the other day.
Yeah, they panicked. The Christophersons panicked.
Are you sure you don't want it to be Chris, Mrs. Christopherson? All right, sure. Just put that down there.
Just put it down. That sounds easy.
Oh, God. Chris Christopherson.
And there you have it, boys. That is a hump day edition of NAW Observations.
All right, very well done. Now, of course, guys, there's everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN, New York. Now, I've wizened up a little bit. I don't know if that's a word, but I've gotten a little smarter here, Rick, because we have the reads that we do about Small Business Initiative, which are very important, and I really enjoy doing. But I can't do these food reads at 11:15 because I become very hungry. So I've started to wait to do them till the end of the show. So that's where we are right now.
Yeah, you've wizened up.
Yeah, I've wizened up. Thank you.
You've wizened up.
Vehemently, I've wizened up. All right, in these, I couldn't let it go. I heard it. It was terrible for my ears, and I had to. I'm sorry, Santiago. In these trying times, it's important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you're a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com and let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community, like Ed and Mary's. Sounds like a friendly place. Located at 174 Coles Street in Jersey City, Ed and Mary's Tavern is open for pickup Wednesdays through Sundays, noon till 8 p.m. They're offering their full menu as well as beer, growlers, wine, and bottles of liquor to go. This is a good place. Give them a call at 201-839-5604 or go to edandmarys.com. So what do you have on tap today, Rick? What
do I have on tap?
Like? What does the rest of the day look like for you? Because not a bad day out.
No, not a bad day. We're currently dealing with a meltdown. I mean, so Milo's melting down right now because he's got an art project. So I'm going to have to do the art project. And then we're going to, I promised them I'd make them some homemade donuts. So we're going to do some homemade
nice.
Donuts.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Homemade donuts.
I have some homemade donuts.
I wouldn't even know how to attack something like that. What do you do?
I have no
you couldn't make them though, could you?
No, I'm not talking about making them. I know exactly how I would attack them though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How many donuts right now do you think, right now, Chris, do you think you could eat? Right
I could eat now. A dozen donuts.
Hot, right now.
Hot donuts, like Krispy Kreme, plain glazed donuts, hot off the press. I could eat a dozen.
With a big glass of milk?
I don't even need the milk, Dave. I don't. It's take it or leave it with the milk, but I mean,
a
hot dozen.
You could destroy a dozen donuts right now.
Yes.
I don't know that I could do.
Don't pretend like you couldn't stop. Don't
a dozen right now? I don't think I
could easily do a dozen.
I think I could comfortably do 8. I think 12 could be exceeding my potential.
Yeah, but the donuts that Chris is describing, like a hot now Krispy Kreme donut, it's like, I mean, it's 2 bites. It melts in your mouth. It's not even, you don't have to chew it.
Yes, I understand, but 8 is a lot. 12 is an extraordinary amount.
It's not even like eating.
It really isn't.
It just disintegrates in your mouth.
Well, how many do you think you could eat?
Right now, at this moment?
Right now. At this moment.
I could eat. How much time are you giving me?
You have 10 minutes.
Is there a time frame, like 10 minutes?
10 minutes.
I could easily 18, I'd probably push towards 20, 22, 24-ish.
Wow.
They're that good, though, man.
24 donuts.
They're amazing.
10 minutes.
Not even a question. And I mean, it wouldn't be good for me, but I could do it, yeah.
No, it wouldn't
I ate a 5-pound sandwich. I ate a 5-pound sandwich in 20 minutes.
Yeah, we got to get you on Man versus Food. I'm going to write that down. Man versus Food.
With a pitcher of soda, too, I had to drink. I had to eat the 5-pound sandwich.
We're quarantine comfort food.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.